You've called WordPress.com. Press 1 for embarrassing parody blogs. Press 2 for inappropriate comments. Press 3.
Hey there, Shopping Maniacs! You're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show, a podcast all about web design and development. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris, header.php choir. Chris, how are you today?
I feel more like a footer.php today.
Aww.
I woke up today and did it with my wife's family was in town. It was so great. And we decided to go for a hike. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's 3.7 miles or something, and maybe like 1,000-foot gain or something. This will be fine, you know. But it's Smith Rock here, and I've done it before, but I kind of forgot that it's pretty freaking hard. And I thought I'd be back to work in like 2 hours, you know, and it took us like 4.5 hours to do it. And I was just drenched because it's like 92 degrees outside, and we didn't bring enough water. And I was like, we're great at this. We're real outdoorsmen.
Yeah, we can budget time and everything. I always give about an extra 6 hours per hike, you know, just budget
an extra six. Let's just call it a day. But we actually have an actual outdoorsman here with us today. Michael, how are you doing, man?
Good, how are you? I mean, I guess you're a little bit footer PHP or whatever, but...
Yeah. No, I'm fine. I went home and I showered and I rushed out the door and I slammed a coffee and now I'm kind of buzzing actually. So fine. Yeah, real good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I haven't done any hiking today. The other day, but not today. Maybe later after this.
You live in a bit of an outdoor paradise. You're a Denver fella.
Yeah. Great place to live if you like the outdoors. But there's no more houses, so you should not move here.
That's tough. Yeah. You know, Austin has the same problem. mm-hmm. Yep, no more houses.
Don't move to Bend or Austin either.
No one's allowed find a new to move city. Here anymore. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Denver's great.
So and WordPress is a big part of your life, isn't it? So that's kind of part of the vibe today, I think, is we'll kind of weave in and out of WordPress topics, I'm sure. It's been a bunch of years. I'm sure that's how I know you. I forget when I first met you, but it's been years, and it was probably a WordCamp or something, right?
No, I remember because, like, back in the day, like, I don't know, you taught me all the CSS via that one website trick thing you make. And so like at a conference, I distinctly remember going like, oh, that's Chris Coyer, but I didn't say it to you, which was like my one cool point win thing. That was pretty much it. It was at like an event apart.
Oh, it was at an event apart? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we saw each other at some WordPress things.
Yeah. Post. I'm sure we've run into each other a dozen times at least at this point. Yeah, so I know you. And what's your, just tell us about your role at WordPress and how you're involved and all that stuff, just to set the stage a bit.
Oh yeah. So I work at Automattic, and we make WordPress.com. I've been here for 4.5 years at this point. I get one of those cool laptops at some point with the big W on it.
Do they really? I can't tell if that's real or not.
Well, we'll see. It's a urban legend, I guess. Yeah, it's real. We do get some cool laptops eventually. But
that's kind of a long time at any tech job, right? So you've seen, and that obviously WordPress has evolved a lot as the web has evolved in 4.5 years. So I think you've become a bit of an old wise man there at Automattic, I'm sure.
Yeah. I guess everybody, when I first joined, everybody I talked to is like, well, the company was this small, but it really was like 200 people when I joined. Now it's like 700-something people.
So you've seen an over tripling.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah. So a lot of people have joined. I've met a good amount of them and I know most of their names at this point.
You know, 700 people's names.
It helps with, wow. I think Slack helps a lot with name memorization, especially if you display like their actual names. Those apps, we had IRC and I knew everybody's IRC tag.
Did Did you? It was IRC before Slack.
Yeah,
right. That was quite the jump.
It was a big jump. We had like images and GIFs, and it was a mess.
Sounds like the same super name memory thing my wife has. She can remember everyone's name. For me, I can't even put a name.
My sister can do names and birthdays. She'll be like, "Oh, that person I met, you know, 4 years ago. Oh yeah, February 13th." I was like, "You are nuts."
So does nuts. your extreme super memory give you elite knowledge to like obscure WP core bugs or what?
Yeah.
You got them all indexed. Yes. You don't even use the bug tracker. You just have them all right here.
There's nothing like being part of like a bug thread on Trax that is like 4 years old or something. Like every once in a while you get an email from it like, oh, yep, that's still going.
Yeah. Oh, and then it's like anyone, and then it's like that person quit about 6 years ago.
And like most of them are like weird, obscure, tiny bugs, but that's most of the big ones get ironed out pretty quick.
Yeah, if it's a bug, I bet there's ones in there that are like almost sort of feature requests.
Yeah. And then there's things that like only the people that build it would really notice, and maybe a couple other people. Like if you didn't change the box shadow color on buttons for all the color schemes accordingly, and only did it for the one.
I guess I kind of forget about that because I think of WordPress as so much like the core of it is more PHP and backend stuff than it is front-end stuff. And then because there's the admin, which I'm sure has its own whole front-end thing.
Yeah.
And then the themes that ship with it.
Yeah.
And you kind of transcend all of it, right? But our front-end focused-ish.
I've done a bunch of all of that with a heavy focus on the front-end design.
So there's a ticket will come in about box shadow. That's great.
Oh yeah, no. There's probably several.
God help nerds.
And like, I think the most interesting one to me recently was a couple months ago. One came up about high contrast mode and box shadows, and I learned a whole bunch that day.
Oh, yeah. About MS high contrast mode?
Well, first of all, I looked up high contrast modes and I found out, oh, there's this cool like media query for it. Sweet. That's going to be, oh, great. Microsoft ignores that. Time to relearn what I was going to do. Yeah.
The day you learn about high contrast mode is a humbling day in your web development career. You're just like, what? No background image? What? Everything like needs a border? What?
There's no background image?
No.
It just removes them?
There is now. I think actually you can do it now and but
colors and stuff, yeah, all get wiped out. Like if you have a border, for example, like a faux button or something and you rely on a box shadow instead of a border for a focus state, it won't show the box shadow at all. And if you have, say, an invisible border, that'll then show up.
But outline works and not box shadow?
Outline works normally.
Okay. Well, that's good. Don't remove your outline styles, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't touch it.
Hey, I got one. Speaking of obscure, not box shadow is not obscure, but here is an obscure CSS thing that I had like forgotten in my mind existed. Mm-hmm. Did you ever use or consider using or look up display run-in? Does anybody even know that that exists? And it doesn't.
Never had a run-in with that one.
Oh.
Ouch. Welcome to the show. It was like, imagine this. I'm going to set the stage for this because I want to know if you ever would have any use for this ever. So you have an H3, let's say, and a P right after it. So they're two block level elements, so they're on top of each other. But let's say you wanted like the header to, when the header stops for the paragraph just to begin on the same exact line. How would you do that now? You'd be like, well, I guess I'll like inline block both of them maybe, or like I'll, I don't know, I'll tuck the H3 within the P and see if browsers are cool with that. Well, yeah, I mean, float left kind of, but then they don't share the same baseline then. So,
and then they wrap different. Yeah, you'd have to like, I would have no use for that personally.
So I guess that's the what display, because it's too hard. There's nothing that quite replicates that. That's what display running is.
I got you. In H3, and then your P tag is a small tag inside the H3. I believe that's how it's solved. So
no, I think it's the other way around. I think you probably should put the H3 inside the P tag.
Oh, okay.
In line, of course.
I actually need to test that right now. Will browsers kick it out, or will it take it?
I think it's a block, so it like closes the other P and then puts another P.
Oh, that's exactly what'll happen. Because P's, it's not even that they're both blocks. It's that P's are self-closing. So when P's hits that H3, it'll be like, well, I'm done with that P then.
So who proposed run-in? Were there multiple people excited about it?
I just remember I came across a blog post of my own from like 10 years ago, and I was like, oh, where is this? Do people just use this now, or is it supported or what? And it's not supported. You can't use it. It's not. Because I think there was like an argument about it. And I feel like from looking at from the outside, sometimes when there's like companies arguing about whether this should or shouldn't exist, sometimes those arguments just stop and then nobody does anything and then it's just over.
Yeah, that's. Actually, you just described how a lot of WordPress issues go.
We're fighting about this, so let's not resolve it. That's how marriages go,
too. After like a month and a half of arguing over something no one's really all that passionate about, it usually just dies.
So on a team with like, I don't know, how many of the 700 Word Automatic people are WordPress developers? But like on a large team like that, when you get an issue, how does it go through? You know, it's like my WordPress is broken. Like, who gets that issue? How do you triage the issues to decide even what department that goes to? You guys have a method for that?
Yeah, we have. Well, it obviously depends on the type of issue and, you know, how it was reported. But first of all, we don't all work on like WordPress or even WordPress.com. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of different automatic projects as well. But generally, if it's like a smaller issue, like if it's reported through, say, someone's got their business site and they want to do something and they find some really horrible broken flow and they contact support would then pass it along to a particularly like a division almost that is sort of in charge. Like if it's a Jetpack related thing, they'll say, hey, Jetpack team, this thing is broken. You should triage it and fix it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of set priority.
You got to triage it before you triage it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty fast usually.
Yeah, I would get in like you come up to speed on where things go. But that's interesting. You have like a traffic controller in front of your bug reports.
And they come from everywhere. Like our happiness engineers, like our support staff are... I don't know. They're omnipresent on the web on WordPress sort of properties. They check like WP Tavern comments and things because sometimes people will just report a bug in a comment. And so they'll then see that, make an issue, pass it along, or in reply to that person saying, hey, we're working on it. But they're everywhere. Like I'll find a weird bug of my own, look it up, find an old post about it on somebody's blog, and one of our happiness engineers has already replied to it.
Nice. Nice. Wow. That's good. It seems like with a project that big is probably good. They seem to be on it kind of people. I would think that even the hiring process is pretty, it's probably even a little hard to get that role because you got to be good. You know what I did the other day? I installed Jetpack on a new site and it does this thing where it's like, you should schedule some time to talk with a Jetpack concierge.
Yeah. Did you do it? Did you sign up?
I did it.
Yes.
I did it. I did it, and I talked with somebody, and they were like on the ball. I mean, it was a lot of like, let me walk you through the features and stuff, but they like knew what they were talking about, which of course they did. But it was a little, it's just surprising when somebody's like super with you and like even if you try to derail them, they answer your question and then bring you back on track. And I was like, oh man, y'all know what you're doing.
They
good job.
They know It's crazy how much random trivia and knowledge they know about like particular setups that break Jetpack and things like that and how to fix them. We do support rotation at Automatic once a year where we do support for a week at the very least. And on the few years where we've actually done it with the Jetpack support team, I've been so over my head.
Well, because they deal with like caching and like security and all this kind of extreme stuff.
Right? Oh, I bet it's the hardest. Yeah, that's the big leagues, because it's like install this plugin on God knows where. Mm-hmm. On, you know, not only what hosting, but what other stuff happens to be happening on this site.
The hosting, you know? The setup, like any sort of like weird DNS things, perhaps. Or, I don't know. There's just.
Yeah. Hi, my blog's hosted on $2webhost.com, and all my text is left to right, or right to left.
What? Well, I don't think we've had that one yet, but
yeah. I had one because I was like, what about, you know, Jetpack will do sitemaps for you, which I think is nice because sitemaps can be, depending on a huge site, it can be a drag on the site performance. And there's a lot of ways sitemaps can go wrong. And I always kind of like it when Jetpack steps in with a feature like that. That's like, you just do it. Figure it out, you know, use the power of WordPress. I don't know, but this is the official thing. So you got this, you know, but it wasn't working, but they knew why, because it was like Jetpack will kind of like punt on stuff like that if it senses something else might be doing that for you instead.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that,
we do a little bit of, like checking to see if other plugins are doing some of the same things, not for everything, but we'll disable on our end if we think there's going to be a conflict.
Right,
Chris. You don't trust CSS Tricks SEO to WP Sitemap Pro XP,
which is
maintained by one guy in Ukraine.
Let me whitelist it real quick for you.
Okay.
No, I don't even know if I care about sitemaps, but once in a while I just decide to care about stuff, you know, like you go on little caring sprints where you're like, I don't know, I guess I should probably like have all the stuff that sites say you should have. So I'm going to get it working.
Like,
you know?
Robots care about sitemaps, right? So like we got to build websites for robots so that humans can get to the websites.
I have literally built a web page for a robot this year, so it's great. No, that's very cool. One thing I actually don't like, or like I don't appreciate, but I guess I do indirectly, is, you know, WordPress is a free thing I like steal from the internet and I charge people money to set it up for them. But yeah, the support is free and it keeps getting updates forever. And that's kind of a interesting, I don't think I've ever like realized how much support and stuff is kind of behind it. I know like Jetpack's a paid product, or, you know, there's WordPress VIP and stuff like that. But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just kind of, I think that's very, interesting. Cause you do, when you have a WordPress problem, generally you Google it, you end up on the WordPress site and it's probably solved by somebody.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's kind of how I started getting like my web chops a little bit, was like this WordPress thing. And I had a question and I found the forums and I saw other people had questions. And then I was like, oh, you have a question about how to set a background color? I know how to set a background color. So I'm just going to answer that. Like, I kept doing that with harder and harder things.
This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you in part by a conference coming up October 1st and 2nd in Toronto, Canada. I went to it last year. It was amazing. Web Unleashed, put on by the FITC people. So Web Unleashed is coming up again in Toronto, the very first 2 days of the lovely month of October. So it is, you know, the front-end developer conference. And just to make sure that I get this to you before I forget or you forget, 50% off the ticket price. So you have to use this code. The code is CodePen. I'm going to give you the CodePen code. You go to Web Unleashed and buy tickets for it. Use the coupon code CodePen for 50% off of it. It's 2 days of over 50 talks. All kinds of stuff. Accessibility, AI, UX, UI, animation design, all kinds of different like framework talks. And of course, there's CSS stuff and performance talks and SVG talks and JavaScript stuff and interaction design. And even web security is there. Ethan Marcotte's going to be there talking about Beyond Our Devices, responsive design stuff. Harry Roberts is going to be there talking about performance, and Rachel Andrew talking about layout, and Wes Boss talking about React, and oh my God, so many people. It's going to be awesome. Again, Web Unleashed Toronto, October 1st and 2nd. Use the code PEN as your code when you check out for literally half off. Very generous of them. That's Web Unleashed. To me, it seems like the business of WordPress has coalesced or like gotten smart in the last, who knows, several years. Because it used to be less clear to me, like, oh, there's .com and there's a few features you can pay them for and whatever, you know. But now it's like much more clear from the outside, and I have no inside knowledge at all about this, but it's like what's for sale on WordPress is clear. It's like Jetpack is an obvious add-on to me. It like does all this crap for you. In asterisk here, they're a sponsor of the show, but I'm a big fan, so whatever. You know, it does all this crap for you that just seems like no-brainer. You got to have it. But WordPress.com has its own stuff. But there's also like, there's a hosting product and you can buy it. And there's WooCommerce and you can buy it. And there's these things that are like really clear business add-ons to WordPress. And you're like, oh, I get it. Now I know why they're a big company and make money and have 700 employees. It's because you sell stuff.
Well, over the last four and a half years here, the company has dramatically changed, like in terms of its
leadership, even, or
its leadership, its focus, its goals. When I joined, it was very much like joining like a 5-person team, because you're put on a 5-person team and you're the designer, and there's like a couple developers, and then there's like one support person, and like they're really small, efficient, scrappy little teams. They're kind of all doing their own thing. And that works to an extent until you build too many features and none of them look like they're designed by the same person. And that gets a little weird. But there also wasn't any major initiatives in terms of focused goals for the company. That started pretty soon after I joined the company. We started really having some focused goals, like some idea of where we wanted to go. And the company really quickly evolved from there to where they are now, where we've got very clear idea of where we're going, what we need to do, priorities, and really just cross project collaboration, which is a big deal. Like that communication made it so much more cohesive as a set of products.
And there'll always be this like the .org thing that this kind of underlies it all, right? There's this massive software product that tons of people use that costs nothing.
Yes, correct. And it's, you know, entirely volunteer. Companies like Automattic and Yoast and a bunch of others contribute, like they pay people to work on it.
I see. So Automattic isn't like the owner of this thing.
No.
It's totally separate from that open source project.
Yeah.
But of course, you must contribute to it. I mean,
we do, yeah. And our contributions, particularly over the past year with Gutenberg, have been pretty big. These paid.
Well, and they make decisions about it. I mean, Matt Mullen goes on stage and says, "This is the future of .org." So, and he's the leader of Automattic as well, right? I mean, his name is in the title.
Yeah, he's got kind of a dual role, right? He's the leader of the WordPress project, and he's also the CEO of Automattic. And there's a distinction. Like, Automattic doesn't really decide things as much. We can like inform Matt and encourage him to go a direction, but it's really up to him. And the WordPress.org, like the volunteer leadership team, where they want to go and what they want to try.
That's interesting how kind of different they are, that there's more separation there than people might assume.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not Automattic, just like, we're going to do this now.
You know what I want you to do? This is a good, because I feel like this has probably been answered like 10,000 times on the internet, but probably evolves over time. And that's this classic thing that everybody at some point in their WordPress understanding needs to understand, which is, what's the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.org? And so why don't you, can you do your spiel and then I have follow-up questions?
Yeah. I think maybe Matt way back in the day sort of explained it really well, or he stole it from, so I don't know. It's really pretty straightforward. WordPress.org is a place where you can download software, the WordPress software itself. And it's like getting a house, right? You can build it yourself and put it together exactly the way you want it. There's no homeowners association, so you can put up a shed or a plugin or whatever. But like, if it breaks, it's kind of on you to fix it. WordPress.com, on the other hand, still running WordPress, but more like an apartment where you're renting from it for free for a lot of the sites. And if something breaks, we'll fix it. And it's much less likely that things will break because we have we have a really awesome
home hosting versus an apartment kind of thing.
Yeah,
that kind of makes it makes 100% sense. So thank you for that. But where are the lines? Like, do you think that more people choose .org than should, maybe, and that like the fact that if something breaks, you just fix it for them kind of thing. Like, why would you spin it up yourself when you get all these protections and stuff from, like, where is that moment? Like, can't you still like style up your site however you want on .com? Yeah. And there's still advanced functionality and stuff. I just wonder if like too many people spin up.
So, I don't really know if too many people spin up .org, sites or not. Like, that's a hard thing to go with, but I know .org is where a lot of people run into trouble. But I think they lean that way because they want that ability to customize, or they tried out WordPress.com and it didn't have the plugin they needed at the time.
I mean, hell yeah, I want that. I know I want my house. I want the full control. I feel almost smart enough to handle it.
I feel like you wrote a book about building a house or WordPress or something at some point with it.
I did, but now I'm getting old and I'm so nervous these days about technical debt, you guys. I stay awake thinking about technical debt these days. Just like, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody at all of spinning up a WordPress site. Like I said, I do it all the time. I have lots of them. That's how I prefer to work and operate. But I just wonder where the line is these days. Like, if you're just spinning up a blog kind of thing, I wonder if the power of WordPress.com has gotten so great that that's kind of a, not only a viable alternative, but kind of a smart way to go.
It is.
Especially
with it is a viable alternative at this point. And we've, over the last year, implemented, as part of like the WordPress.com business plans, the ability to upload your own plugins and themes, which is really what people wanted.
What? Really?
Yeah.
So it has almost entirely all the power of
power. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty much you get everything you want, both sides of the coin, I guess. And so you can do that, but I also think it's sort of a time and money sort of equation here. Like, if you've got a lot of time and you're willing to put in the effort, yeah, you can spin up your own. You can do it. It's probably going to be about a similar cost to some of the plans on WordPress.com in terms of hosting.
That's the thing, is you need hosting for some,
unless you're one of those gung-ho like Raspberry Pi web server or something, but
yeah, sure, but you're probably in the tens to hundreds of dollars
but your time,
month or year,
time, huge amount of time investment doing that. And With the right precautions, you're not, you know, going to have to worry too much about security. Like, don't set bad passwords and stuff like that. Your site should be okay.
I guess WordPress.org, the one I download.
Yeah.
You know, because my mind is maybe like snapped in 10 years ago, like the difference, you know. It was very much like, well, if you do a WordPress.com, you get pretty much the 2010 theme, and you can maybe add, there's maybe like a couple jetpacks you can enable or whatever. But now, does WordPress.com, can I do like verified plugins, or can I upload my own theme? How does that sort of stuff work on the .com side?
It's identical. You can upload your own stuff. You can also pull plugins and themes from the WordPress.org free plugin and theme repo.
Okay. Because in my brain, so I can't do like something like advanced custom fields or something, or like a pay an upchargey kind of one.
I mean, could, yeah. Okay. There's some caveats, like, WordPress.com is primarily using an interface called Calypso. That's a React-based JavaScript-y front end for it that replaces the old, WP admin, the familiar WP admin view. And you can still access the WP admin view, which is what you would want to do if you installed some of these plugins that mess with the interface or require an interface interaction of some sort, like advanced custom fields.
Really? So even on your WordPress.com site, if you want to use the kind of the old school WP, I mean, I shouldn't call it old school because that's what everybody on .org uses, but it's compared to Calypso, it's old school.
Yeah, I think we called it classic at some point, and I don't know, there was some feedback about that, but the familiar old WP admin, classic WP admin, is accessible on any of your WordPress.com sites as well. And sort of to prevent people from having to do both or use both on most sites, like if you spin up a site right now, it won't like link you to WP admin. But if you had an older site where you got familiar with WP admin before Calypso, then you'd still have that as a link option.
Okay. Because I think in my brain, you know, maybe there was a time where that wasn't a feature or something. And so it just kind of wasn't an option, you know? I would download it to go the custom theme route because that's ultimately what I was looking for.
Well, yeah, we didn't allow people to upload plugins and themes or anything until I think late last year.
Oh, well, there you go. That's actually something more. Well, okay. Here's my next question. My WordPress.com account seems to be permanently connected to some obscure parody blog that I started with some friends. How do I undo that association for I don't know, employment reasons?
Contact support.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's like you can either like make one of them an admin and just like delete yourself from the site, or you can contact support and they'll do that for you.
All right. Yeah. Maybe. Support's getting a call this evening. It's a little embarrassing.
Just to keep in mind, our support phone line is a answering machine.
Okay. You've called WordPress.com.
But you'll get an email right after. One.
Yeah. Press 1 for embarrassing parody blogs. Press 2 for inappropriate comments. Press 3.
Our support team is going to be taking notes on all this stuff. They'll be like, this is a good idea. We should do this.
Hey, if WordPress wants to hire Dave Rupert LLC to consult, I'm like super available. So there you go.
So here's one about Jetpack or anything else really, is that like what in your, cause 4.5 years in, you know, you do support a week a year, you go to WordCamps and all that stuff. What is something that people just don't know about, or you find like almost weirdly that they don't know about WordPress or Jetpack?
Oh, weird.
I mean, it doesn't have to be weird, but like, is there something that like one of these things does? Like, even to us, it was surprising that you could upload plugins and themes to WordPress.com. That's a mind bender.
Well, there's that one. That one's pretty new though. I think Jetpack's had this one feature for quite a long time called Photon. That's one of my favorite ones though, and it just all it does is when you upload an image to your site, it clones that image over to our servers, and the next time someone goes to that page, it serves, like, it'll generate and serve an image that's the right size for the device they're viewing. So if they're on like a 3x Android device, it'll serve it at the exact number of pixels it needs to be, you know, perfect resolution on there.
Does it do? This is good, because I'll echo you and say that having an image CDN one click away is a very big deal, and that's awesome that it can do that. It doesn't seem to do 2x for me. I have it enabled on a bunch of sites, and I have a little trick around it that I do because I still use it because I like it. But I find that if you just upload an image and it's, you know, it tends to resize it to a 1x resolution, not a, anyway.
Maybe it's some of that technical debt you got. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. We
could, no, it could
I don't be. Know. We can get Jeremy and some of our team on there to look at it and see what's going on.
Oh yeah, I didn't mean to make this technical.
Spoiler. No, it's cool. So, like, but that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it was impressive the first time I saw it, because I was like, oh, I get it. The CDN has stuck in its nose in here and made a new image. So the performance of that image is going to be awesome, because it's not only CDN hosted, but resized and optimized.
Right.
So it's like it's a threefer.
So you save a little bit of web host traffic, which the hosts are like, yes.
Yeah.
But also it does like kind of some other weird, janky, cool stuff. If you're a developer, you can sort of make it like do image filters, like serve the thumbnail in black and white, or make this picture yellow and blue and stuff like that. There's like an API for it. I've never really messed too much with that, but that's.
So there must be some, it's like whatever. It has some image magic stuff on the back end and you can hook into that. That's a kind of recurring theme, because now there's Jetpack search as well, which is Elasticsearch on the back end, which means that any Elasticsearch filter that you would normally be able to do, you can also do with its search. And it's like you're on your own, you know, like, you know, look up, you're gonna have to write these filters yourself and make a little plugin or whatever. But I think that's pretty cool that it exposes that to you, which is the same kind of deal with this image thing. Like, well, it's using this on the back end, so if you want to do something weird with it, go for it.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a lot of these like kind of experimentally rougher around the edges features baked into WordPress.com and Jetpack. And some of that's on purpose, like the image the Elasticsearch was done by a very small team and pretty quickly to sort of help gauge interest, because we know it's exciting. We know the implications, especially for folks who have wanted to try to set up Elasticsearch for their site. It's not always the easiest, and this just makes it a few clicks away for the folks that want to do it.
Any feature that you can just like turn on and have zero configuration and get benefit from is kind of a big deal, I think.
We also have some really in the weeds things. Like if you go into shortcode land and look at all the Jetpack shortcodes, there's like some really old school stuff. Like there's a slideshow shortcode with like shortcodes inside of shortcodes, and there's a like a recipe one, and
yeah recipe shortcode,
yeah, all these things that like Gutenberg is gonna replace, hopefully.
Yeah, because I remember, I mean, we haven't brought this up, but Jetpack isn't new necessarily, right? No. Like it's a bunch of years old. Yeah. And in the early days of it, I even still have a post on CSS Tricks that's kind of like, do you want like some of Jetpack, but not all of Jetpack? Maybe, I don't know exactly when this happened evolutionary within there, but I remember having functions.php stuff on my site that would dequeue all of Jetpack CSS and JavaScript because it didn't feel optional. It was like you turned on Jetpack and you'd get all this crap. And then it gave this kind of bad public perception of it, at least to me, that was like, you turn this plugin on and you just get the kitchen sink of stuff it's trying to throw at you. And I don't want that, but I am intrigued enough by what it gives me that I still want to use it. But I think those days of fighting are over, but that was maybe early day stuff.
Kind of. There's still some like modern day-ish sort of stuff that were similar. But yeah, early days, it was very modular. Like it was really sort of built as a set of plugins sort of bundled together to give you some WordPress, some of the cool features we'd built for WordPress.com just for free. And it was done by largely developers and not really hugely forward looking at the time. When I joined, there were like 40 or something modules, and it was just this huge grid of like things to turn 40. Off and on, each with some of their own settings, and things is getting out of hand. So we had to do something about that, sort of simplify it. And we also did some stuff for performance a couple of years ago where we concatenated all of the front end CSS together into one thing, because it was serving like if you had all the stuff on, it would serve like, I don't know, 20 CSS files or something, which was way slower than just like one small file.
I don't even know now. It probably depends on what's on and off, but I don't think it enqueues any CSS on my site. I don't use any of the features that do anything front endy, really.
Yeah, it would be for like comments and likes and stuff like that. Actually, likes might even right. just be an iframe. So,
yeah, maybe not that one. Depends on what you use, which is cool. So, we have some questions from some people. Or Dave, do you have some more?
Steve Puglia writes in. I work for an agency that receives a lot of requests for WordPress sites. However, the problem is that these requests go beyond the scope of WordPress, in my opinion. For example, we receive a request to create a website for a housing authority of a local city. WordPress is a good option for the public-facing side of the website, which will act as more of a brochure site. However, the client is requesting we build a user portal for tenants and renters. The portal would allow them to pay rent, view private documents, check on a waiting list, among other features. I know I could probably bend WordPress to meet these features, but I'm recommending we build a separate Rails or Node app just for the portal that would live at the subdomain. What are your thoughts? I guess this is a comment like
yeah.
This is, oh, WordPress is for marketing sites, not apps, kind of thing.
Yeah, right? But this is like a really, this is a really good example. We get questions like this. I mean, this is, I've asked questions like this way back in the day. And yeah, you can make WordPress do it. You can write a JavaScript app or whatever that talks to WordPress if you want. You can do it a bunch of different ways. You can just use a separate app that's already built or whatever. I don't know. It just sort of depends on the scenario and how much time you have and whether you think there's opportunity in building like a portal that you want to then sell to other people that also might need a portal, that kind of thing.
Is it on the WordPress roadmap to make kind of like app development like this easier? You don't have to like be beholden to the whole roadmap, but like I'm imagining I don't want to like record customer purchases in the like WP post tape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? what ideally I'd want like some SQL or like, I don't want to write SQL. I want like to create, you know, kind of like a Rails style controller for a, purchases or payments table. And I start logging records in the payments table. Is that something I can do now without like raw SQL or is like kind of these, you know, kind of like a framework-y sort of feature set. Is that ever going to come to WordPress?
I don't know. I really don't.
Good answer.
Good answer for you.
No comment.
Well, look at what the feature list here is. It says, I want to build a client. It's a user portal, but it's both for tenants and renters. So, okay, we need a login system. Right. Does WordPress offer this? Check. It does. And I think that's a big advantage of WordPress is that out of the box, you get a pretty good user management system.
Especially compared to my Jekyll site.
So. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's got a login system. It's just amazing. It works great. But tenants and renters, which are very different entities. So is there a way that you can finagle WordPress's system to handle the permissions for those two different things and have them look? Probably there is, right?
Yeah.
And then, okay, the portal would also allow them to pay rent. Does WordPress have built-in payment features? No, but you could probably finagle something, and Steve knows this. He says, "You know, but view private documents." I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe. And then checking a waiting list. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely not like WordPress isn't handing you this on a silver platter, but
you can do it. Maybe. And like some of it, you can do right out of the box. Like Jetpack has this simple payments button, for example, or like you can use Woo or something for something like that to get a rent payment from somebody.
Wait, Jetpack has a payments thing?
Yeah, it's called the simple payments button. It's pretty it's just like a button to get money from people, and it's not smart. Like, it's not attached to inventory or anything. It's like the bare bones. Like,
how do you check out? Oh, it goes to PayPal.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine.
Yes, you could do something like that. Like, it depends on the scale and how nice you want to make it. But like, if you have like two buildings with like 40 tenants, that's probably enough, I guess. I don't know. I'm not in the renter game.
No, it's funny that I think that will probably resonate with some listeners, is that, God, what do you reach for here? Yeah. Or is this a Laravel situation? Or is it literally, you know, Steve's like, is this a Rails thing? Maybe, sure. Is this a Node thing? Sure. I mean, there's no right answer to these questions. You know, I guess you want to pick an answer that's going to give you some kind of heads up. You know, you're not going to write this in assembly. So what are you going to pick? What abstraction?
And like, I think it helps to ask people who've done similar things. I mean, it may not be apples to apples, but find a site that does something, ask how they did it, kind of thing. Because if you go to a WordPress meetup and you're like, should I do this with WordPress? Well, every single person there likes playing with WordPress or is familiar with WordPress. So they're gonna be like, oh yeah, WordPress can do that. You should do it with WordPress.
Yeah, there's somebody who's like, I got WordPress running my heart rate monitor.
Need BuddyPress and this keychain plugin that'll connect to your Strava, that'll then give you accounts that you tie into this other plugin that gets rent. Like, it gets, I don't know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail, sort of. That metaphor is sort of what you'll get.
People need to be hyper aware of that, I think. It's so easy to, you know, on Twitter, you can be like, what's your favorite host? Well, you're going to get, it's the people that answer you aren't people that have tried 300 hosts and detailedly compared them. They're going to be like, I don't know, the one I used last time.
Just like, look around and see what services are available. Don't look in just one sandbox. Like, if I want to build a cool online synthesizer, I'm probably not going to use WordPress.
Well, there you go. Has no web audio API features, none.
Well, I was going to say, like, I think it's like probably makes sense to, like, I would approach it from the other angle, like try to find a open source ish, you know, tenant renter, you know, recurring billing software, and see if I can make it interact with WordPress, like whether that's like a seamless login or something, you know. That's how I would probably take it.
I like this. Yeah. That's good thinking. I might look at what's the suckiest thing on this list that I don't want to do.
Right.
I'm going to find something to deal with that. And then what do I know I can do? Well, I could probably do auth, so I'll take that. But I really want something to take the pain of the monthly payments thing away from me. I can't deal with that. Yeah.
That's what a lot of people tend to do, is sort of find a service that does the hard thing, and then either make it look like it's being served from their WordPress site. Like, some of those are themable, or they make them talk to each other.
But I do think a nice recurring digital download thing, from WordPress would be really awesome. Is WordPress working on that? Yes or no? You got to commit.
It's already there. Just get WooCommerce, man.
All right. There it is.
Okay. So, hey, let's do one from Stephen B. Why do people think that backend developers can do the job of a front-end developer? ? I was recently hired over at a friend's agency. I was brought on to help advance their front-end process, along with deliver a more kick-ass experience overall. They mainly focus on Magento and WordPress development, which you can probably understand, especially with Magento. Am I saying that right? I think so. It's heavy on the back end. So recently I've noticed a trend. It's something like this. So an educated and technical person says, hey, Steve, you know, if
I
you want to
don't like it.
hey, Steve.
It's a trap, Steve. Steve, watch out, Steve.
He's got his arm on Steve's shoulder.
Yeah.
If you
Steve, buddy, he puts a 20 in his pocket. Hey.
If you want, you can hand some of your tickets over to backend developer one. He knows front end too. I'm cool with like a superstar developer that slays both on the front end and the back end. I'll give them my tasks all day, but this is not the case about our back end developers. Most of our back end developers are blown away with the stuff we do, even the simplest of things. So with all that said, have you ever dealt with people kind of looking down on front end versus back end?
I don't know. Yeah, probably I have, but it's not as big of a recurring theme in most of the people I meet. I've seen scenarios like that where people don't understand the difference, or worst case that I've encountered is that they really don't see it. Like I've had, when I was working for the state government of Colorado, one of the directors there didn't really see much of a difference between like getting me to code up a front end of something versus one of his back end developers. And I think that gets sort of problematic because you end up with a lot of weird stuff that accumulates into debt. And then like also some toe stepping on. I think the better approach is sort of like on our team, like on my team, there's a developer that joined a year and a half ago. And he is not strong on front end at all, and like totally aware of it. And the way we approached it was like, I was just like, hey, you do as much as you can do, right, on a pull request, and then CC me, and I'll come in and tag team in and help you get to the end and show you kind of like what you maybe should have done. And this way, it sort of turns into a more of a learning experience. Like, there's no reason these back-end devs can't learn enough to really just help you along and get you give you a head start before you jump in and sort of polish it up.
That sounds pretty healthy.
And then they get really good, and then you don't have to do it as often.
Oh, that's great. Leveling people up. That's even better. I love everything about that. I hope this is a soft wall. This is Steve Polito again. Hey, Steve. Well, is that three Steves in a row? It is. Sorry, this is a Steve-heavy episode.
Steve cast, the Steve
touch. Is it just one Steve that's just coming up with new emails?
Yeah, new emails, new last names.
You kind of wanted to know about filtered searches here. So without using a plugin, what's the best way to add filtered searches to custom queries? Oh, your gosh. This is
Oh, I wish you could see my face. It's the really confused emoji face.
for example, let's say I'm looping through all blog posts and I want the end use to filter the loop based on the author via a select list. So you just got a loop of all your blog posts, and then, but you want to have a front end, literally a drop-down menu sitting there, and you select an author and then it barfs out. I don't know. I know how I would do it. I'd probably hit the API, because I bet there's a REST API endpoint for like blog posts by this author.
You can exactly do that. So you can hit the API and do some of that stuff. I guess it depends on the filters, right? Like if it's something that's already a taxonomy, the API probably handles it. Okay.
There must be a way to just write a WP query that just is all blog posts by this author. Yeah. There must be, yeah. You know? And if you need to write it so your site responds to that via like a Git, like a URL param or something.
I think there already is, because I was messing around with updating my site, which I didn't, but I did something very similar where I like wanted to get all the posts just by me.
And you get free URLs too. I think there's like /author/author name slug that is just a free archive barf out of that. So I'm trying to alleviate as much technical debt from my life as possible. When I see a solution like that, I'm like, oh, there's a default route that hits this. I'm not going to write a custom query to give me that stuff. I'm going to use that route because that just feels like it will last longer and it will require less maintenance and screwing around and like having it exit my brain and need to re-enter my brain later. It's like, just use the route.
Yeah. I mean, we could ask like Dan or Greg, two of the dudes who worked on the Elasticsearch, they'd probably know a really good answer to this question.
Well, I love, that's another, when I saw filter and search in the same thing, I was like, wasn't that another big deal with Elasticsearch, is that not only you can run a search, and then after you've run the search, there's like a bunch of checkboxes, and you can be like, please continue filtering the search for me, which just didn't exist before Elasticsearch.
Yeah, and you can curate the filters that you present. Like there's some defaults like categories and stuff that you would sort of expect.
Yeah, but I do that because on CSS Tricks we use categories, but they're not useful to people. Yeah. But the tags are useful to people, so I just show the tag filter.
And then there's other ones you could make, like a search for anything that has like puppies in it or kittens, and it'll actually, like when you're sort of setting it up behind the scenes in the customizer or the widget, you can actually preview the search results, sort of, if that makes sense. Like if you add a puppies filter, right, it would say like a little number next to it telling you how many posts are there. So if you made a filter, you're like, oh yeah, kittens, and there's like one, maybe it's not a good filter.
Oh, there you go.
Or maybe it's a joke, I don't know.
Yeah, you can have joke filters, that's fine.
Yeah, like 450 puppies and one kitten.
Yeah, down with kittens.
No.
All right, do we have time for one more? Where are we at?
I think we're going to have to wrap it up. Unfortunately, we have another one about WooCommerce, but I think it's going to take a while, so we'll have to shelve it for another day, sadly. I think it's just maybe a 10-minute question, and we're already kind of getting over here. So anyway,
take us on home.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. For those who aren't following you and giving you money, how can they do that?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Michael Arstead, and same thing with Instagram, WordPress.
Definitely follow Michael on Instagram. That's all the outdoor stuff. It's great.
You won't find much techie stuff. Occasionally you'll see me like nerding out on some broken device thing I'm trying to solder together, but mostly just outdoor stuff. And you don't have to give me any money. Like I'm totally happy helping people out with cool open sourcey front endy questions. If you've got a weird bug, I'm also happy to look into that. That's my jam.
Somebody's got to do it. Yeah.
Hey, somebody has to do it. I appreciate that you are taking this bullet for 25% of the internet. So appreciate that. And thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate that. And thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher choice. Be sure to star heart, favorite it up. That's how people find out about the show. Follow us on Twitter at Shop Talk Show for tons of tweets a month. And if you hate your job, head over to shoptalkshow.com/jobs and get a brand new one, because people want to hire people like you.
Hey, Shop Talk Show listeners, I got a job opening I want to tell you about. It's at a growing agency in London called Rotate, and they work with a lot of premium brands to help them sell stuff. So they're, you know, it's studiorotate.com is the URL, and their website is super nice. And I always think that's a nice touch, you know, to know that you're walking in somewhere that cares about themselves enough to make a really nice website and tell their clients and show their clients how nice of websites they can make and look through the stuff that they've built. It's super tasteful, the work that they do. Really nice design work. And check out their stack as well. That in this job posting, they're talking about how they generally build stuff, and how they generally build stuff is Vue with Vuex and Nuxt, you know, nice. They push sites to Netlify, nice. They use AWS Lambda for the cloud function stuff. They're Contentful, kind of headless CMS action, search through Algolia, Shopify integration with GraphQL. I'm like, ooh, these are all, that sounds so fun to work in such a modern way. Certainly appeals to me. So they've, you know, they're an agency. They've won some awards already. And, you know, so they want you because you're a front-end developer. That's what they're looking for. Specifically. So, you know, you should know CSS3, you should know modern JavaScript stuff, you should know, have some experience building progressive web apps and you know, using JavaScript frameworks like Vue, and you work in Git, and you're comfortable pulling stuff from Photoshop and Sketch and stuff, and headless CMS stuff is a bonus, Lambda, Firebase stuff is a bonus. So it sounds like a lot of fun. Go check out Rotate, apply for the job. Could be yours. Could be awesome.
And I think that's all I got. Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
I'm feeling more like header.php now. Shop.show.com.